World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I'm bubbling over today, day after Memorial Day. I'm bubbling over. And let me jump on that horse and ride that thing here real quickly before we get too far. Hey, look, I've been slow making this announcement. I have to talk to Pastor Bill Dunphy. You know, we're going to go back to Indian Lake, and I think it's designed to go next weekend. For those of you maybe could come and help with a weekend again at Indian Lake and some rebuilding, I'm going to firm that up tomorrow. I didn't get a chance to. I've been just so much going on, you know, and you know, I have the funeral next week, so it's going to be tough for me. But we need somebody maybe to show up at Indian Lake again next weekend. I'll get more information to you on that. I've been forgetting to say anything about, so I apologize. And the annual, don't forget the annual coming up. It's going to be a great time. June 21, 22, 23. You can camp. You can get a hotel room. And I took my grandkids out to Wendy's the other day, and it was $57, one meal at Wendy's, $57, right? And that's what we're charging to come for three meals at Sky High. So don't let the money be an object. Look, if you want to be around some like-minded, clear-thinking Christian people, come and join us. Sheila Holm, Flip Benham, Tom Renz, and who knows what else is going to go on. It's going to be great. You'll love it. Roger's going to shoot off some fireworks. And yada, yada, yada. So yesterday, I was saying, here in little old Hebron, Ohio, we still, for my whole life, I'm 71, we still have a Memorial Day parade. We've had it every year that I've been alive. Just a little podunk, the Lakewood Marching Band marches down through there, the fire trucks go, and they come, and somebody, the American Legion, organizes it, and they sing or read the poem, Flanders Field, and it's just been the tradition like forever. And I was really grieved yesterday, and I wasn't grieved at anybody, but I saw something, because we had all of our grandchildren were there. It was really, really cool for them to see it. But the speaker, and I'm not making fun of the speaker. Do you know, folks, do you have any idea how little our children and grandchildren know about our American life? You have any idea? Memorial Day? I was out there with my little Annie. Annie's, I don't know how old Annie is, five. How old's Annie? I'm at five. In the cemetery, walking through the cemetery, explaining to little Annie that tombstone, what that tombstone meant. I said, see, look, there's a person's name on here, Annie. And this person, they're buried right here. Aren't they with Jesus? Yeah, they're with Jesus. But their bones are skeleton. Oh, they're skeleton? Yeah, they're skeleton, right? And then why are we here, Grampy? Well, we're here today because a lot of guys went overseas to fight wars, and they died, and they didn't come home. Can you imagine your brother going off and fighting a war, and he's gone, he never comes back home? I said, that happened to a lot of men, that we might be able to be free here in the United States of America. And so we come here today because we're going to honor those men who fought in the wars were able to come home, but many, many who died in the war and were not able to come home. And her little eyes, big blue eyes, she just was taking that all in, and we walked around a couple more tombs. Have you guys done that? Have you taken your children to the cemetery? Walked them through the tombstone and shown the dash on there, and here's what's in here, and here's where this person. I'm not bragging because we didn't do it till yesterday. I did it. It was amazing. And I was sitting there thinking about in today's culture and today's society, as I look across, well, it was a pretty good crowd there, that little Hebron cemetery. How many people there, young people, had no idea what Memorial Day was about? They had no idea. They had no understanding. Didn't have any idea that America was one nation under God, and we went to defend liberty and Christianity all over the world. Hiroshima, Nagasaki, the White Cliffs of Dover, running up the beaches in Europe, dying. Our kids had no idea. And there we were with all those. What an opportunity. And Christ at the center of it. We died as Christians. We were here as Christian people, dying for our fellow man. I didn't get it. And it really got me thinking, as a lot of things do, pondering on the mess that we find ourselves in America, because we have lost our American traditions and our American heritage, which, by the way, are Christian. They're Christian. And the most censored group in America today are Christians. Whether you understand it or not, everything's allowed in the public schools. Every type of deviant theology, whatever, is allowed, not Christianity. If you want to have Christianity, you have to take them away from the school. Can't do it in the school. And the Lakewood marching band's marching down there, playing their songs, and the fire trucks are playing. And nobody under my age, maybe a few under my age, have any idea what Memorial Day is about. They have no idea and no understanding. Spencer, I'm going to see if I can pull a fast one for you there. Look up the poem Flanders Field. Some of you old folk may know that. Some of you might. But I can remember as an 8, 9, 10-year-old, my mom would take us to the cemetery because it was right after World War II, and a lot of people just died, right? They had just died. And they read in Flanders Field every year at this Memorial Day parade in Hebron. And the lady that read it yesterday, she read it so we couldn't even hardly hear her. But see, children today don't understand this. In Flanders fields, the poppies blow. Between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky, the larks, still bravely singing, fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead. Short days ago, we lived, felt dawn, saw summer glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Field. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep, though poppies grow in Flanders Field. It's pretty profound, isn't it? And for generations and generations, my generation, we marched off to the cemeteries to honor those who were lying in Flanders Field. Nobody even knew who they were. Nameless people laying in mass graves all across that America might be free. That message wasn't there yesterday. I'm not blaming anybody, but it wasn't there yesterday. That these people died that we might live, we might have freedom. It was all missing. And I walked away. I thought, I got to get my grandkids back here. I got to walk them through here. I got to take them down and show them where their grandma and grandpa all lay. Well, that would be me. Their great-grandparents lie. And connect to them. And this grandpa here, look, he fought in the war. And this one here, she was telling the story of our ancestry. We don't do that. Somebody sent me this. Play this real quick. A flyover of Arlington National Cemetery. Hang on. Before you play that, if I understand it right, you have to be, not just anybody can be buried in Arlington, right? Not just anybody can be buried there. And look how many people are buried. Does anybody know what are the requirements to be buried in Arlington National Cemetery? Does anybody know what, I'm off the top of your head, anybody out there, what the requirements are?
You just have to basically been in the military and be honorable discharge.
Okay, so you have to have been in the military. So these people here all served in the military. Can we agree with that, Betty?
Yes, and I believe there's some government officials in there too, but I'm not sure. But okay, yeah.
Okay, here we are. The requirements. The deceased must have died on active duty or have received an honorable discharge from the United States. Betty said that. Deceased must have served in the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine. The deceased must have been a member of Reserve National Guard, served one country in active. The deceased must have been a prisoner of war who died on or after November 30th, 1993. The deceased must have received a Medal of Honor. The deceased must be a surviving spouse of a service member who died on active duty in the combat zone. Additional requirements. Unbelievable. They just don't stick people in Arlington National Cemetery, right? And so we go through Memorial Day yesterday in Little Old Hebron, where a lot of guys went and fought in that war. People lost their family members. And that was not emphasized to those children there. And you know me, I'm standing back and saying, give me the mic. Give me the mic. Somebody get out of the way. Give me the mic. Because what an opportunity, right? What an opportunity. And then I got this yesterday. Fly over to Arlington National Cemetery. Look at the number of graves. Go ahead and play that real quickly.
And by the flash of a neon light that split the night and touched the sound of silence. And in the naked light I saw 10,000 people, maybe.
Okay, you can pull that down, right? Pull that down. So for me yesterday, because all my grandkids were there, it was pretty impactful to me. And I realized, dang, Psalm 78 real quick, off the top of my head, Spencer. Psalm 78. Betty, I wish they'd given me the microphone. I should have just gone up and grabbed it, right? I talked about this other day. We will not hide. Verse 2, I will open my mouth in a parable and I will utter strange sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers told us. We're not going to hide them from our children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he have done. We established testimony in Jacob, pointed a law in Israel, he came unto our fathers to make it known to their children. The generation to come might know him. Even the children should be born who would arise and would teach it to their children, right? We don't do this anymore, friends. We don't do this anymore. And in fact, we do just the opposite. We're in a tear down mentality in America. That Satan's job is divide and conquer. Divide and conquer. Red, yellow, black, white, queer, straight, lesbian. Then divide, 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 divide. Affirmative action. What do they call that? DEI, diversity, inclusion, and whatever. All about how different we all are, when in fact, the gospel of the kingdom of God is about how unified we all are. And we don't even talk about it. We don't even talk about it. This common bond that held these guys together, this common bond that would take these guys and they would fly over to someplace in Italy or someplace in France and die on some stinking beach for what? We don't even tell them, really. We lay a wreath, honor the dead. It really, really moved me yesterday. It moved me into something else. I'm going to bring it up here in a sec. Some of you may not want to watch. I'm just going to give you a warning because, look, I ain't here to please people. Come on in, Brett.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. Morning, everybody. Yeah, just... Our little town of Millersburg has been doing the Memorial Day 20 years after it started. It started back in the mid 1800s. Somebody could look that up, I guess. But anyway, we start out at the Millersburg Square with a speaker, pastor. Quite a few people gather, not as many as used to, but Then they have a parade. We have a parade after that, and then we go to the cemetery. And my old high school principal reads the names of every deceased soldier. So we're up to 15, just shy of 1,500 names now. And wow. That doesn't matter if they fought in a war or they participated in the military, but it's pretty good.
Greater love has no man this, and he would lay down his life with his for his friends. We need to explain to the young people that these people laid down their lives for their friends.
Right.
That's what they did. Right? And that the message is totally escaped. Mel, your hand was up in there. Go ahead. Come on back in before Betty.
Thanks, Coach. Hey, I took my hand down because this is kind of a pivot. But yesterday, the meeting started in Geneva, Switzerland. Spencer, if you can go to the Liberty Action Network webpage. And this meeting is going to go from May 27th to June 1st. And Craig has created a prayer. If at some point during the show, Coach, if maybe we could read that. The other thing is we updated it this morning. There's a group of people that are actually going to be going to Geneva. And if you're interested in going, you can click the link and contact them. But just overall, we want to pray Psalm 91 protection over those travelers that are going. And we've added some additional information. So I just wanted to update the group on that. Thanks, Coach.
Amen. Amen. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you would cover them. Cover all those who are out there today, Lord, doing your will. Standing up against the forces of darkness, expanding the kingdom of God. Let your grace, your mercy, and your power be upon them in Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Betty.
Just a real quick to add on to that, Coach. Yeah, there are people that are actually going to be in front of the World Health Organization in Geneva. I mean, they're the boots on the ground. It's just, they're the Coach Daves of the world, okay, that are protesting against that. So, you know, we got to lift them up in prayer and that their message will be heard. Okay. So.
Amen, amen. Betty.
Yes. I wish you would have gotten the mic. I think you'd have gotten the message across.
I should have grabbed it and made him arrest me.
Yeah, well, that video is very humbling and it's heartbreaking because people really don't realize how many people sacrifice, their lives are sacrificed for our freedom. And Arlington, you know, if you think about it, Arlington has a lot of graves there, but what about all the other states? And overseas, we also have them. I've been to one in France. A veteran cemetery. So there are so many you can't even imagine.
There are people buried in the Hebron Cemetery who were soldiers.
Exactly. Right?
And are we a wise man teaches it to his children? Are we teaching it to our children, teaching it to their children? No, we're not, folks. No, we're not. We're teaching diversity and tolerance. And I'm going to get into all that here in a second. Dale, go ahead.
Well, hallelujah, Coach. So, of course, the churches are not and the schools are not teaching on what it is. So I did take that. I didn't preach on Sunday, but I did share what Memorial was so I could teach that. And this, I had a house full of people. This was set up at my dinner table. And I made sure everybody knew what that was. And to pay honor for those who never made it home. And so that plate sat there empty with people sitting around this table eating. They had to look at that.
Amen, buddy. Amen. Sacrifice. We don't even talk about it anymore, right? It's not even. I continue to say this, Christian. I'm speaking to Christians. We live in a culture and a society where all time is measured by the death of our Savior. All time is, this is 2024 years since the crucifixion of Christ. You get that? And we don't even teach that to our children. We allow that not to be taught in our schools over the idea of the separation between the church and say, are you kidding me? But we do, don't we? We do. And we go to the Memorial Day Parade, and we don't even know what the Memorial Day Parade is. We don't even know what we're memorializing, right? Christ ought to be the center of all this stuff. Oh, by the way, they did say a prayer yesterday. They did let him say a prayer. Nobody objected too much to that, right? Jamie Farrell, come on in, or Joe, or whoever that might be. Silver. Did you want to come in, Jamie? No, Joe's hand's up. No, okay. Yes, it is up. Go ahead. Okay. Well, okay. So look, I'm going to move. Cause look, I'm going to tell you the truth. Okay. I'm going to go somewhere today. It's really, really, I don't care. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Do you guys believe that? Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Because see, they'll make accusations. They'll say, you don't love black people. You don't love Chinese people. You don't love Jews. Just on and on and on. If you have an objection, or better yet, a historical fact to make a presentation of, most times we're not going to say it because we know what we're going to be called. What are you going to be called, Clay? Hey, Clay, what are you going to be called? One of two things you're going to be called if you point out something against some chosen ethnic group.
You are either a racist or an anti-Semite.
Or a hater. A racist, an anti-Semite, or a hater. There are certain groups you are not allowed to say anything about. Has everybody got that? Well, I will. I'm going to say stuff because, see, look, Christianity, friends, is corporate. It is not individual. Hang on. It is individual. And when you become a Christian, you become a part of a family of God. You were an individual, received Christ, and were drafted into a new family. That old family, you left. I'm a Dobbenmeyer. I'll always be a Dobbenmeyer, but I'm a member of the family of God first. Red, yellow, black, white, Jew, Greek, Muslim, it don't matter what it was, baby. When you receive Christ, you get transformed from the kingdom of darkness into a brand new kingdom, the kingdom of his dear son. And what the enemy has tried to do for my whole lifetime, at least, is to try to get those of us in the church divided against one another, because they cannot win if we are unified.
Boom.
And do it. And so we look at the American mess, this thing we call Christianity, the divisions in Christianity. I'm going to go somewhere with it. Hang on a second. So I got, are you ready? You sitting down? Here you go. Hang on. By the way, pull up number one. God bless Mike Adams. Brideon sued a bunch of people. Brideon sues Google, Facebook, Twitter, NewsGuard, Homeland Security, Department of Defense, Global Engagement Center, ISD, and others. Globally coordinated, government-funded censorship collusion against Mike Adams, Health Ranger National. Mike Adams, YouTube will not carry Brideon. Did you know that? How can they get away with that? How can they get it? Well, Mike Adams soon. About time. Soon Facebook, soon Twitter. Because why? Speech is supposed to be free. If Betty can say it, I can say it. And when those people become in charge of speech, the speech police, which sometimes I feel like I'm surrounded by it, that I'm not allowed to say what I feel because I'm a bigot, I'm a homophobe, I'm a racist, pick your name. They've shut up the mouth of the Christian. So I was watching something. I don't even know what I was watching. And I pull up Spencer. It's second thing that says no Greek. Pull that up there. Because I'm going to tell you, my Christian friends, you don't believe this. I don't believe this. We don't believe this. Galatians 3, there is neither Jew nor Greek. Time out. For all of you folk out there who say, Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it. Hey, Vinny, what does that say? What's that say, Vinny?
There is neither Jew nor Greek.
There ain't no such thing as a Jew. Is that what it says?
That's what it says.
And there ain't no such thing as a Greek?
Exactly.
And Vinny, there's no such thing as being bond?
Boom.
Or free? Right? By the way, I'm a bond servant. I'm in bondage to Christ. I am.
Amen.
There's neither male or female.
That's it.
Are you with me? And think about in American culture and American society, what they focus on. They focus on the Jew. They focus on the Greek. They focus on the bond. They focus on the free. They focus on the male. They focus on the female. They focus on the non-binary and the unbinary and the do-binary. They focus totally, completely on everything that divides us, which is exactly the opposite of what the gospel teaches.
Boom.
And if you be Christ's, you are Abraham's seed, period. Why? Because he made a promise. Huh? And if I point out that, look, the Jews aren't special. Oh, my goodness. Oh, oh. Right? The scripture says there is no such thing. There's no such thing as a Jew. There's no such thing. Why? Because we're all God's children. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Because why? He sees them as spiritual beings, not black, white, yellow containers of spirits and souls. He loves the individual, the soul. They're all precious in his sight. He doesn't see Jew. He doesn't see Greek. He doesn't see male. He doesn't see female. He doesn't see black. Y'all, do you get this? And the entire culture and society is trying to make you aware of the divisions. Pick a team, baby. That's Christianity. That's Christianity. So I got thinking about something. I don't know about you guys. I've pretty much had it up. I've had it up into my eyes with our cultural heroes. Hang on a minute, right now. Okay, you ready here? I'm going to show you something here. You ready? I don't know how to do this. Are there any? Look, hang on now. Hang on. I'm sorry. Here we go. Are there any white male role models anymore? In the movies? Who were the movie stars when you were growing up? Anybody give me one? I'll give you one. John Wayne. They wouldn't let him on Hollywood today. Who else?
Clint Eastwood.
Jimmy Stewart.
Huh? We could go on and on and on, right? Strong, white, Anglo-Saxon butt kickers with me. Men you didn't mess with. Matt Dillon.
Charlton Heston.
Now, see, some of you are so stupid, you're thinking race. Well, let me ask you something. If race isn't important, then where did all those role model types go? Now we get Henry Winkler. Well, he's a little bit old, right? Now we get little soft, little mushy men. And men dress like women and acting like women. And they take men, real men. See, people don't like this show sometimes because I'd be a real man. I say what I think. And we've been taught that men aren't supposed to have opinions anymore. Denzel Washington. I watched Denzel Washington. I didn't care what skin color he was. That was a man, baby. I like Denzel Washington, huh?
James Brown.
Who was the first black one they brought along? Sidney Poitier. But when they brought him in, he was a soft, compliant black man, wasn't he? He was. He really was.
Boom.
I'm on to something here. And somewhere along the line, along the way, somebody decided we got to get rid of those white evangelical Protestant strong role models. We got to get rid of them. Because we've got to feminize the church. We got to feminize Christian men if we're ever going to conquer America. Somebody say amen for me out there. Because, see, amen. Huh? Somebody amen. Say amen for me, huh? And so we sat around. Amen. We sat around and we allowed our grandchildren to be discriminated against to make up for the discrimination that black people went through. And I'm sorry black people went through it, but we're a few years removed from that right now. And still they have DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion. They're still discriminating against the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant. Prove me wrong. Somebody prove me wrong. Clint Walker, Matt Dillon, Paul Newman, Robert Redford. You with me? Coach, we're just trying to make it fair for everybody. Yeah, I know they're trying to make it fair for everybody by destroying the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant role model. Come on, man. Come on. We're all out there sucking away at it, letting them do it to us, calling us racist. And, you know what I'm talking about. So I thought, man, huh? Let me pull up number four. This is the crap that we're dealing with. This is straight from the devil, friends. What is diversity, equity, inclusion? Do you know that this is at the heart of every business in America right now? What is it? Diversity, DEI are three closely linked values. Did you know that diversity, equity, and inclusion are now values? Huh? Not right and wrong, good and evil. No. No, the values now are diversity, equity, and inclusion. See, it doesn't matter how well you can do the job. If you're Japanese, you get a leg up. Folks, that's discrimination against white Anglo-Saxon Protestants. Are you with me? Are you with me? And we sit back and we take it, right? Now we take it because our ancestors were racist and our ancestors were dim. Yeah. Hey, look, I don't know about you. I ain't responsible for what my dad did. I'm not responsible for it. And it's not the government's job to make me pay for what my dad did or my granddad. And it still goes on and on. And they just continue to change the discriminated against groups. All of a sudden, ethnicities, religions, abilities, gender, sexual. What are you talking about? I'll put this website in the chat. You want to barf. You go down through here and you'll see what our culture is doing to the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant man. Yeah. Why did Barack Obama, why was everybody, we elected a freaking communist, my opinion, homosexual communist, and applauded because he was black. Does anybody think I'm wrong? Does anybody out there think I'm wrong? See, most people won't say it. They'll never say it because I'll get emails. We elected a man solely on the color of his skin. Somebody
said, amen.
Huh? He'd have been white. They wouldn't have looked at him for 10 seconds. They wouldn't have looked at him. But he fit the mold because why? It destroyed whatever they called it, that white privilege. Huh? White privilege. You want to know about white privilege for my dad? You want to know about white privilege for Michelle's mom and dad? Crawling out of the hills of Bluefield, West Virginia. You want me to tell you those stories? White privilege? Really? Really? Now, I'm not making light of the fact that some people lived in slavery, but can I tell you something? There were a lot of guys working in those coal mines that lived in slavery. Don't think they didn't. Oh, my soul. Hey, pull that up. Hey, Spencer, pull up Tennessee Ernie Ford, 16 tons. Want to hear about white privilege? Hold up, Spencer. Tennessee Ernie Ford, or just put in there 16 tons, because you never heard it, because they probably banned it because it didn't fit DEI, would be my guess. 16 tons, what do you get? Folks, this was an absolutely big, big hit in the 50s, late 50s. Turn to Tennessee Ernie Ford, listen to this one. See if they play this on the media today, because why? Tennessee Ernie Ford came out of an area where his dad went down into the mines every day, and he was a slave to the mine. White privilege. White privilege. Go ahead and play it.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
What privilege, baby! That's some white privilege right there.
I was born one morning when the sun didn't shine. I picked up my shovel and I walked to the mine. I loaded 16 tons of number 9 coal. And the star boss said, well, to bless my soul, you load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. I was born one morning, it was drizzling rain. Fighting and trouble are my middle name. I was raised in the canebrake by an old mama lion. Can't know a high-toned woman make me walk the line. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store. If you see me coming, better step aside. A lot of men didn't, a lot of men died. One fist of iron, the other of steel. If the right one don't get you, then the left one will. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
That's white privilege, yeah, boys and girls. That's white privilege, huh? Those guys died from black lung disease. They didn't even see the daylight. They worked all day. It was dark when they went in, and it was dark when they came out. And they did everything they could to raise up their families. But they didn't care about black guys. They couldn't have cared less. They were fighting their own war, man, trying to raise their own families. So I'm sitting around today, and I'm like, how come we never hear this? How come we never hear this? Pull up number three. Pull up number three for me, Spencer. Black, white privilege. White privilege. Really? Really? Uh-oh. Scroll down here. An ethnic breakdown of sports. Huh? Oh, yeah, you want to know? Huh? The last 20 years, Major League Sports in North America have been some surprising and not so surprising changes in diversity. Hmm? Oh, yeah, Major League Baseball. Look at this. Major League Baseball. African American players have decreased from 13% during the start of the 21st century to 7% today. So the number of blacks playing baseball, because baseball is not their sport of choice, is about the same number of the population. Should be about 7%. That's what, 7% of America's black males. How about the NBA? What? 80.7% players being black? What? How about some white, short, fat guys in the NBA? 80.7% of players. Look, are you looking at me? They're not giving us any white role models in sports, folks. There are no white role models in sports. Going down. What about the NFL? About the NFL. Remember, blacks are about 7.7% males. The NFL dropped down. It's amazing, isn't it? The league is primarily composed of African Americans. Percentage of players of color has slowly risen to 70%. The percentage of white players is now reaching an all-time low of 27% are white. 70% are black. While stats on the field are looking up, the diversity behind the scenes is lacking. 9% of managers in the league are people of color. Well, 9%. There's 7% of the population. What's the big deal? Come on. Say, I get you, coach. I get you. Go next one. Scroll, is that it? What about, oh, my goodness. Hockey league, that's a white man's sport. I ain't blacks in that, right? So they keep giving us all this stuff about white privilege. White folks, there ain't no such thing as white privilege. Stop it already. Stop it already. Hang on, I'm not done. I got to get it off my chest, all right? I could read that. I've been rambling on. Let me tell you something. Well, it's all about destruction of the white Anglo-Saxon process. Let me show you one more thing. I got to do it. Get it over. I'll feel better today. Go to number 10. Religious stats. There it are. Scroll down. Go the other way with it. So we can see the whole chart. There it is. Self-described religious identification of the adult population. Can you get that off there, Spence? Because it doesn't really identify what it says for. I can get it on mine if you can't. Okay, so I'm going to read. See, you guys look at this chart, and I'm going to tell you what the chart says on this website. All right? What the heck? Get full access. Is that what I need to do? No, I don't want to do that. Daggone it. Anyway, you wouldn't believe this. I looked at this earlier today, and now I can't find it. Oh, wait a minute. Let me try this. Yeah, there you go. Hey, Spencer. No, it doesn't. Anyway, blew my whole thing. So anyway, here's what we're finding out, right? There's total, complete division in white America from a religious standpoint. If I could explain these all to you, scroll down there a little bit, Spencer, if you could. All those little ones at the bottom. I'm gonna throw something through the screen. All right. We have black churches and white churches, Lutheran churches, Methodist churches, and Baptist churches and non-denominational churches. Divide. Church buys into all that crap. I don't know why you can't click on that top thing at the blue. I don't want to get full access. That tells you who it is. And it doesn't work. Okay, I'll shut up. I got more. Good. Bobby Lee, come on in.
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. I want to say one thing. I'm not ashamed of being white, and I ain't never been I never discriminated against anybody in my life. I don't hate black men. I don't hate black women. I don't hate anybody, especially because who they are. Oh, I hate them for what they do. I do that. I don't hate anybody for what kind of skin color they were put in. And they've made me guilty of racism anytime I speak out against it. And I ain't buying it no more. I ain't taking it no more. Call me all the names you want to. Bobby, go ahead.
In the chat, I posted a video explaining the Barbary slave trade that lasted for hundreds of years prior to the Western slave trade, about the black and the Islamics grabbing whites and enslaving them and doing some of the most horrific things you can imagine. That lasted hundreds of years. Nobody wants to talk about. I'll just drop this, that the Crusades was not a bunch of Christians killing everybody. That was after hundreds of years of Islamic black terrorism, slavery, and death and destruction on the populations. And eventually people get tired of that. Fast forward to between 1830 and 1840, according to the U.S. own census, that about 6,000 slave owners during that time period was black slave owners. The largest slave owner in Louisiana was a black slave owner. So everything that we've ever been told, for the most part, is a lie about history. And it literally takes a short search to find this information, because a couple of months ago, I put together a couple of videos about the topic. Why is it I can find basic information within a few minutes and people spend their entire lives dumb as hell?
Amen. I'm with you, Bobby. Listen, pull up number eight. See, some of you want to call me a racist right now. You want to do that because they have so programmed you. I have to be a racist because I'm talking about it. Look, what's going on this graph? Are you ready, folks? Racial disparity in major sports leagues. What if I told you I want to play center field for the Yankees? Well, anybody know what percent? Anybody know what percent of Americans are black males? Somebody can Google it for me. I can tell you what it is, but you can Google it for me. 7%. 7% of the American population are black males. 7%. In the National Football League, there's 74% of the players. What? Yeah. Yeah, 74% of the players in the NFL are black. 74%. Little black privilege here going on, isn't it? Women's National Basketball Association, well, I'll be darned. 83% of them are players of color. Wow. Wow. National Basketball Association, NBA, 83. Do you see these numbers? 83%. How come there's no diversity, inclusion, and equity in the NBA? How come? How come there's no, huh? You mean 83% of the jobs in the NBA go to black people? That isn't right, is it? Can you imagine if those numbers were reversed? Major League Baseball, 40%. 40% are black or Latino. America's pastime, right? Only one out of five are white. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying if this diversity inclusion if it goes across all spectrum, homos and tromos and everybody included, well, what's going on here? What's going on? Major League Soccer. That's a up yuppie sport for the most part. A lot of Europeans in that. 60% of them still black. Do I sound racist? Do statistics make one racist? And is it any wonder? Oh, I'm telling you, I got to say it. I got to say it. America's young white boys are growing up with black role models. Not that there's anything wrong with it. As long as they have character and integrity. And let me tell you something else. You know what the NFL's given us? You know what the NFL's given us? Some white witch. They've promoted this white witch more than anybody could ever imagine. Well, not the stay-at-home moms. Not the moms that stay home and raise their kids. No. No, they got to destroy everything, Christian. Let's go after those white girls. Let's get those white girls. Let's get them out there copulating without getting married. Let's do that. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, I'm telling you. I ain't taking it anymore. Affirmative action? Are you kidding me? Affirmative action? Hey, Clay, let's start a movement that 45% of every employee has to be a Christian. Why not? We've become a minority group. How come diversity, equity, inclusion doesn't involve special places where you have to have hired born-again Christians? Wake up. Jeff Klein, go ahead. It's good. Ain't nobody going to say this stuff to me. Ain't nobody going to say it because I ain't racist. I'm not racist. I'm an analyst. I can read, I can see, and I can think. Jeff.
This morning on Fox News, they're ripping Caitlin Clark now. White girl.
Oh, yeah.
They are ripping her. She's absorbing all the attention.
Yes. What? How dare that white girl come into this black league? Right?
Yeah. And her head coach, it just says right there, head coaches of color, 25% in the WNBA. Her white coach come out and said, blah, 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 some good things. And she said, but then she threw Caitlin under the bus. Yep. The black guy on Fox News, he defended her. He said, she's a phenomenal. She's excellent. He lit it up. You know,
folks, if you think it's not everywhere, buddy, and can I tell you, let me zero right in on it too, right? Because they're going to try to tell you ultimately God's a DEI good too, right? Everybody gets into heaven because God's diverse, equitable, and inclusion. So everybody's going to make it to heaven. Don't fall for it. I'm just telling you. That's where it heads. Huh? This religion stuff now. God loves everybody. Huh? He loves red and yellow, black and white. He loves them all. See, they use it whenever they want to, whenever they need it, whenever it applies to their agenda, they use it. Now, hey, I'm going to get pushback from this. Oh, yeah, they're going to call me names. They're going to call me a racist, bigot, pick whatever it is, pick it, Pickett. Look what they did to the butt kicker there in Kansas City. Yeah, right? Why? Because they hate truth. They hate the truth. Jack, come on in.
I just put a little note in for the producer. If you pull up 1959, The Great Pretender by the Platters, and look at their clothes and listen to their diction, it's absolutely perfect.
In other words,
to learn Ebonics.
Yep.
Beautiful. They're articulate. They're dressed well. They're mannerly. There's none of this garbage that we're being told is black history.
Play it. The Platters, The Great Pretender, 1955.
Listen to their words.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Pretending that I'm doing well. My need is such, I pretend too much. I'm lonely, but no one.
Okay, you can take it down, because you know what it is? Hey, here's what it is. They're acting white. That's back in the 50s when they had to act white. No. They brought in rap music into the black community and destroyed the black community. They destroyed it, folks. They always create a problem and then bring a solution. And so they bring in rap music, destroys the black population. Not all of it. They're good, God-fearing black people, go to church. There are a lot of bummy white people as well, right? But they made an attempt to invade in the black community and destroy the black family with rap music and single parenthood and all that. Oh yeah. You're growing up. We can handle it. Go ahead, Roger.
Dave, the memorial service that you went to, I'm curious, what did they say then, if not the sacrifice that was made by men and women? Did they just not cover it at all, or just a little bit?
Roger, everything is so not offensive to say, right? They mm-hmm. brought in, by the way, a woman. I don't care. They brought in a woman general, former general woman. And she talked to, I didn't even listen, to be honest with you, because I knew what she was saying. I didn't even listen. Rather than for all those young people there to make an example, these men we're talking about left their homes to die for God, family, and country. And that's what we need in this nation. Oh, you couldn't say that. Oh, no, you can't say that. The exact message they needed to hear. That's why I said I should have grabbed the microphone and run.
Got it. Okay.
Clay.
Well, just getting back to what we was talking about the Hollywood actors. Back in the 50s and 60s, the communists were trying to take over Hollywood. And Ronald Reagan was the president of the Screen Actors Guild, and he was working with the FBI, I guess, back then, before they had been taken over into communism and trying to destroy the country. He was giving names of communists that were infiltrating Hollywood. They tried to end his career by throwing acid in his face. And so what happened was they eventually took over Hollywood, and that's why we're like we are now. They took it over, and now they've wiped out the John Waynes and all the tough guys.
So when was Martin Luther King Jr. killed? Does anybody know? When was the Civil Rights Movement? 64th in the 60s, right? Didn't he die in 68? I think he died in 68, right? Anybody know how many years ago that is? How many years ago? That's two generations ago, folks. It's two generations ago, and they're still playing the same race card.
56 years later.
They're still playing the same race card, right? And if I was a black man, I would be offended that they tell me that somehow I can't get an ID to go vote. I'd be offended. I'd be offended. Right? Huh? Oh, yeah. Hang on. I got to pull this up, Bobby. Hang on. Pull up for me, Spencer. I'm sorry. Number nine. Oh, yeah. Barack Hussein Obama. Look at this. September 2012, the end of WASP. Dominated politics. There you go, baby. See, they've had a plan. And the plan is what? To undermine white evangelical Protestantism. They hate Christ. Folks, I mean, and see, then they make it illegal to say what I'm saying. They'll ban you on Facebook and YouTube, and they'll ban you on all these things because you're not allowed to say the truth. They're allowed to say it. We're not allowed to say it. See, we're all right, racist, bigoted, homophobic white men. And these poor blacks, they've just been held down and held down. And the queers, they've all just been held down by those evangelicals. It's those Christians. Hey, not much amen. I'm freaking hitting it right in the teeth today. Go ahead.
Amen.
Brian. Yeah, I just want to push the importance of this video. Uncle Tom 2, I linked it in the chat and the video. Uncle Tom 2 is, it was created by an all-black cast explaining how the black population was intentionally destroyed and used against itself and the Americas, America, for the communist takeover of America.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. So
fundamentally transform, right?
Yes. This is a required watch. I encourage everybody that hears my voice now and moving forward, blast this to the four corners. We have to understand why. And listen, I work in an environment where I deal with the most difficult and hardcore situations that you can imagine. Kensington, Philadelphia, people coming from all over the nation. I mean, every day I got people telling me that who shot, bullet holes, all of this mess. So the intentional destruction of the black population is more than killing, crushing as many black baby skulls as you can in the inner cities. It's about killing them as often and as quickly as you can all throughout their lives. And we're all herded in environments. So that's the black population in inner cities. And that's I'll get off here in just a second. But go back to what you were talking about earlier, Coach. The white populations in the rurals, poverty-stricken Appalachian areas is just as bad. They just rolled out.
Still,
I just came from Kentucky. This is eastern Kentucky. Don't tell me that there's no poverty in Appalachia. They rolled out drug paraphernalia machines in rural Kentucky a couple of years ago. The intentional destruction of everything, of men and the families, is centered around the drug epidemic brought in by our own government and pushed by political and communist teachers.
Hey, this is so good. Did you guys know this? Did you know that now, I'm not making it up, Betty, check it out. Illegal immigrants are now getting VA benefits. Did you guys know that? Illegal immigrants who've come into America are now being able to go to the VA for treatment. Yeah. And it's white. It's a whitey. Hell, racist whitey. He's the guy you got to worry about. Huh? Look, are you looking at me? Shame on you if you call me a racist. Shame on you. You started it. Come on in, Joe.
Well, let's not forget the war on drugs.
Yep, in the black community, right?
1991, war on drugs. Just the federal prisons alone was 68 at the time, went to 124 federal prisons.
Amen.
Just federal, not counting state or county. Destruction of men.
They're doing it on purpose. It's being done on purpose. Why? Because it's the seed of the serpent against the seed of the woman. Angie.
Morning. I feel like it's been a while. I did want to address this whole thing. You were talking about Appalachian, like white America. Listen, they have got Appalachian American, poor white Americans, so dependent on the government for everything. Like, they're extremely dependent for grant money, like the amount of grant money flowing into southeastern Ohio right now.
Yep.
And they get them dependent. There's a really good documentary from a guy, I think his last name is Lady, but he does a whole documentary on, it's called Soft White Underbelly. Look that up. It's on YouTube. But he goes into Appalachian America, and he's talking to these poor people, and they're all dependent on the government. All of them.
Amen. They're not going to bite the hand that feeds them, are they, Angie? Put that in the chat, Angie, that video. I'm a connoisseur of all that kind of stuff.
I'll do.
Hey, folks. Red and yellow, black and white, they're precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. I'm going to tell you something. If you are not a Christian by adoption, you're not a child of God. I'm sorry for the confusion.
Amen.
I'm sorry that you believe that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
It's not your lineage. It's not your birthright. It's not any of that stuff anymore. And unfortunately, we still don't get it. That a black man saved by the blood of Jesus is just as saved as a white man saved by the blood of Jesus, because his spirit and soul ain't got no color. And a Jewish man not saved by the blood of Jesus is just as lost as a black man not saved by the blood of Jesus. Wake the hell up. See you tomorrow.